And it used to be 2022, and now it's jumped over to 2023. So we're moving right along, aren't we? Amen. And we're in Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. And we've been in this series, I guess, you know, for quite a while. After we got through with the last thing that we were studying through as far as the Bible. And, you know, on our Wednesday nights, we've been trying to do that, give folks the information and let them get that it is, you know, a Bible study that we're going through, but there's preaching, and we just need more preaching about the Word of God. Amen. What I think. And I was reading something today, and there was some preacher put on, I don't know if it's on Facebook or some memo or something that I got an email about preaching. In one way, it was like chocolate cake, and I thought, I like chocolate cake, but his indication was that it wasn't good for you. So, but I'll just tell you this: I think all preaching is good for us. I know everybody has their way and their style, and even some of us that do things one way, we might do it another way at another time, and that's okay. I got no problems. I'm kind of like Brother James Langston says sometimes. He says, they just two kind of preachers that make me want to preach. Those that can and those that can't. Amen? And, you know, if they're doing either one of them, I want to preach too. So, but I want us to look tonight in Acts chapter number 11. And we're going to start in verse number 19. Verse number 19, we got that far before, as we looked into the first part of chapter 11. And we talked about, you know, that's kind of Peter reiterating the story about what had happened with Cornelius. And we've gotten to the place now in the book of Acts where the gospel is going to the Gentiles. And that was kind of the thought from last week, was that we had seen the opening, presentation of the gospel to the Gentiles, and we'll continue that tonight, and just for the thought, we'll preach on this, the move to Antioch. The move to Antioch. That's what we'll be thinking about tonight. So read with me, if you will, in chapter number 11, verse number 19. It said, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for loving us and for your word and for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the good songs. Thank you for the fact that you are our great, mighty, and powerful, and all-knowing and all-wonderful God. We thank you for that tonight. Be a blessing in the message. Speak to our hearts. Speak to other folks' hearts. Help us to say something tonight to encourage your saints and to be a blessing to others. Now, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. We'll love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, we're going to look tonight at the move to Antioch. The move to Antioch. And as I've told you, we've you'll see this as you study the book of Acts. It starts out in Jerusalem. That is the center of attention because obviously that's where Jesus left his disciples. And if you remember the story when Jesus is getting ready to leave, and we get a little bit of it there in Acts chapter number 1, as he's getting ready to leave, he tells them to tarry at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from God. So they did that. But that wasn't all the instructions. That wasn't everything. He said, until you be endued with power. He said, and then you're to go. He said, go to Samaria, or from Judea to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost part. So now there is a directive given to the church, but they've just kind of got complacent and stayed in the same place. Most of the activity that you see through the first 9, 10, 11 chapters is all there in the city of Jerusalem. Now, there's been a few little excursions and a few little things that we've seen. But now we're making the move. I mean, we're moving out of Jerusalem. And now the center of attention is going to be in a place called Antioch. Antioch is northward from the land of Israel. It's northward up into what they called at that time Asia Minor. And it is in an area around Turkey headed toward Greece. And in that area, for me and you, as far as geography goes, but it is not in the Holy Land, okay? They're moving out. Why is that? Because now God is taking the gospel and urging the disciples to take the gospel beyond Jerusalem, beyond Judea, beyond Samaria, and now go to the uttermost parts. That's the directive. I mean, that's the, if you will, the orders from headquarters that the Lord gave to his disciples. So here they are getting ready to do that. And if you'll notice here in verse number 19, as we start this section, it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. All right, I want you to notice those few verses, if you will. And it says, and there were some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So let's first of all look at this, and let's talk about the spread of the word. The spread of the word. Let's see how the word of God begins to spread. And the way that the Word of God is going to spread is the same way it's going to spread today. It's going to be spread by men using their voices, using their abilities, using their want-tos to get out and preach and spread out the Word of God. I mean, isn't that today what we generally term folks as missionaries? I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and they are missionaries to this country, to this land, to this group of people, whatever it is. We got missionaries that go all over the world now, right? We got people that go to South America and to Africa and to the European and to the Asian continent. We got people all over the world taking the Word of God. And that's what we want, isn't it? Amen? And now, you know what some of them are doing? They're coming and bringing it to North America. Because I can tell you, we need it around the good old U.S. of A. We still need some preaching of the Word of God. So this is the spread of the Word. But I want you to notice some things about this as this thing begins to unfold. First of all, I want you to notice in this preaching of the Word, first of all, notice the preaching that seems to be exclusive. It seems to be excluded. Look what it says. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Did you catch that when we were reading it? They were being very exclusive. Okay, we're carrying the word out, but we're still just preaching to the Jewish people. I mean, they're still letting a little bit of that prejudice show, aren't they? They still saying, well, this is the word, and this is the word God told us to spread, but we're going to take it and talk to some other Jews that are on the outside. Well, you notice the first part of that, the phrasing of it, says that they were scattered abroad because of the persecution that arose around the death of Stephen. Around the death of Stephen, brother, things started heating up in Jerusalem for those that were naming the name of Jesus. They got picked on. They got called out. They got mocked. They got made fun of. They got kicked out of a lot of things. They got voted out of the churches. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God was doing that so he could get his word out. He's trying to get the word out. Well, these folks are out. And they're about, and they've been scattered, if you will. And it talks about three areas. The first one says Phoenix, or we would call it Phoenicia, in the area of Phoenicia. And then it says that it spread on further to Cyprus, and then also to Antioch. I mean, it's spreading, it's making its way beyond Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. It's moving on out. But as I say, you notice this preaching is first. It has some exclusivity to it. It's exclusively to the Jew. That's not what the Lord wants. But something's about to change, okay? Now, notice not only that preaching that's exclusive to the Jews, but now I want you to notice the preaching that gets extended to the Gentiles. Notice what it says. It says, and some of them, this is some of the men that were scattered, or those that were, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, we don't really have a lot of intricate detail there. We don't know a whole lot about the preciseness of this or the happenstance of it. I don't know what happened. But I can tell you this. I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost got on somebody and said, hey, quit just preaching to that crowd and go get the rest of them. You know, somebody probably said, well, you know, if Jesus can save these guys, what can he do for them? And they began to preach to the Gentiles. They began to preach to the Grecians. Now, God's already showed them. I mean, already got them stirred up because of Cornelius and all the things that's happened with him through Peter. Some things have already been done there. And God's already said, look, I don't have any favorites. I'm not playing favorites. I'm no respecter of the persons of men. I want everybody to get this gospel. Amen. So they began to preach. And they say, hey, let's preach to them. They go from, you know what? Them folks believe about Jesus too. They're tired of their religion. I mean, that's exactly why the Jews have turned to Jesus, because they're tired of all those rules and regulations and rituals and all those little rites of things that the Jewish men, Jewish rabbis said they had to do. They said, we're tired of that. And Jesus said, I'll set you free. Thank God. And the preaching of the gospel did that. It did that. It set them free. So now here they are, and they're preaching, and it said they were preaching of the Lord Jesus. And look, it said, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed, and they turned unto the Lord. So you don't just see the extension of that preaching, but you see the preaching that brought an explosion. Do you see that? It says, man, that they preached, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Can I tell you, that's what we need today. We need the hand of God with us. And if we would get ourselves in a position as people that claim to know the Lord, if we'd get our hearts where they ought to be, if we'd pray, if we'd do what we're supposed to and have the hand of the Lord with us, you see what happened? A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I mean, I'm just telling you. That's what it took. They said, we want to preach Jesus. They preached Jesus and people got saved. There was an explosion that happened from this spreading of the word. And that's what I want you to notice there. First of all, you just see that the word gets spread. And isn't it amazing how God's word will do that? And if you'll notice right here, there's no big well-known names that are mentioned, right? I mean, there's nobody here that is mentioned in verses 19, 20, and 21. It just says there were some men. What can some men do? Some men can reach other men and folks will get saved and God's word will prosper and God's word. You don't have to have, you know, Dr. Big Name. You don't have to have Mr. Professor So-and-so. You don't have to have the superstars of the gospel world. You just need some men that say, we want to preach a gospel and the Holy Ghost come down and it'll work. I mean, that's what that tells me. So you see the spread of what happens by just the spread of the Word of God. It just gets out and it begins to spread and it begins to do what it says it will do. The Lord said, my Word will not return to me void, but it will do that which I've set it out, which I've purposed for it to do. It'll do it. So you notice the spread of the Word. But second of all, let's look at the next little thing that Luke writes about, the servants of the Lord. You see the spread of the Word, but let's look at these servants of the Lord. It says in verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. I'm glad when the church hears some good news. Amen. You know, we hear enough bad stuff. We hear enough of the negative. We hear enough of the yeah, yeah. We hear enough of the grumble, mumble, groan, gripe, complain. We hear, hey, this news was good news, and it came to the ears of the church. Isn't that what it says? Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. It's interesting. And, I mean, you just follow the flow of the Bible and you'll see the interesting part of it. God uses Barnabas at this particular time. And let's just, you know, run across that just for a minute and think about it. You're going to see as you go along. Look at the very last verse in this that we read in verse number 30. It says, which also they did, talking about the church that there at Antioch gave some things. And it said, and it sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now notice that. Barnabas. Barnabas is at the forefront. Barnabas is doing all, and that's the way it's going to be for a few chapters. And then all of a sudden the emphasis is going to turn. And it's going to be Paul and Barnabas. The names are going to change. And you know what? I don't think I ever see. Now I know Barnabas and Paul have some disagreement, and we'll get into that eventually. But I don't ever see where Barnabas says, my name's got to be first. Or Paul says, well, my name's got to be first. I don't ever see where they get into that kind of personality conflict. But, you know, I think we've got some of those things today. I believe, well, I'm going to out-preach or be the preacher above, you know, so-and-so, and I want my name first on the billboard, and I want to be recognized as this, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you know who does this right here? This is the Holy Ghost that does this. And right now, the emphasis and the need and the spotlight is there for Barnabas. Why? Because you think about what we know about him. His name means son of consolation or son of encouragement. He is an encourager. He is the man that goes in and he doesn't start picking things apart. He doesn't start coming and say, well, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. He's not that kind of guy. That's not his personality. That's not his makeup. That's not his heart. That's not his spirit. His spirit is to be an encourager. And I think the Holy Ghost knows that. I know the Holy Ghost knows that. And I'm glad the people in the church saw that. I mean, you think, why in the world did they just pick Barnabas? But that's what it says right here, isn't it? It said, when these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They said, Barnabas, we're going to, and let's just get into this. We'll call this, first of all, you see the commission given from Jerusalem. They have commissioned Barnabas to do a work. They've commissioned him. The church has called him. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you stick in this and you'll see a lot of things that begin to develop as far as doctrinal statement, doctrinal issues out of the book of Acts that will stick with the church. Now, I know we're in a transition time, but here's one of them. Realize that the church is what God has put on the earth, and the church should be doing a lot of things that the church probably doesn't do today. And the church is probably doing a lot of things today that it shouldn't be doing, right? But there's a lot of things that are here that we should be doing. And one of them is this sort of thing. They called him. They said, we're commissioning you. This is just like sending a missionary. Just like a church would send and commission a missionary. Here's the commission for Barnabas. We want you to go. We want you to be our representative. We want you to go and see and do what you can to help these folks. And it says, he was sent forth. You notice the commission that he should go as far as Antioch. They said, we want you to go. We've heard these things. Go and check it out. Go. We want you to go. So he says, hi, Captain, I'm ready to go. Amen. I mean, he's a willing, humble servant of God. And as I say, he's got that right kind of personality. He's got that right kind of heart and spirit about him. Look what it says in verse number 23. I tell you, I've been studying on this, and this is just good. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I mean, y'all just notice that. And notice what it says. For he was a good man. and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Isn't that an amazing statement right there? I want you to notice the first part of it. It says, who, Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God. Let me ask y'all something. How do you see the grace of God? How do you see? I mean, it's like, how do you see faith? How do you see love? How do you see mercy? You can't see those things, but you can see those things, right? Isn't that what it said? Hey, old Barnabas walked up down there, and like I said, he didn't go in criticized. Can I tell you this? I believe when he went in, he seen some of those folks. And you know what? That's like me and you when we got saved. They were rough around the edges, but he saw something in them that said, hey, they're saved. They may not know their theology. They may not know all the words to the hymns. They may not know very much about the scripture, but buddy, they're saved and they love Jesus. Amen. They love Jesus. I mean, it's just one of them things. He saw the grace of God. How did he see it? He saw what he saw in their lives. He saw how they looked and worked with each other. He saw how they acted as a church. He saw some devotion. He saw some commitment. He saw some heart and some spirit. He saw when they did whatever they did it with joy and gladness of heart. He came in and saw something. Now look, you could have sent, the Jews could have sent some of these other guys. They could have sent somebody like me and you down there, and they said, well, that bunch ain't much. I mean, look at so-and-so. He needs a haircut. Look at that one over there. She needs to lengthen out her skirt. And look at this one over here. They need to cut out this and that and other. I mean, you can pick people to pieces if you want to. But he saw the grace of God in them. He didn't. I'm telling you, come in, you can find fault with every one of us in this building if you want to. But, buddy, look beyond that and find the grace of God. Amen? I mean, we all got faults, we all got problems. But, man, look, he came in and he said, I tell you what I see. I see a ragtag. Let me just tell you what you and I might see sometime. I saw somebody describe it this way. They said, you know, what do you see when you see a new convert sometime? This preacher says maybe this typical new convert is a 20-year-old man with his hair a little bit longer than what you think it ought to be, wearing a baseball cap backwards on his head, got on a t-shirt and blue jeans at the church house, and got a tattoo or three up and down his arm. But can I tell you, when Jesus moves in, it makes a difference. Amen. He might not look like you think he ought to look. And he might not know everything you think he ought to know, but can I tell you, go back and look in the mirror, look in the past of your life, see where you were, and see if you just didn't need somebody to love you and bring you along. Amen. And that's exactly what Barnabas, that's who he is. That's why they sent him. That's why the Holy Ghost whispered in somebody's ear and said, send Barnabas. Who, when he came, he'd seen the grace of God, and he was glad. As I say, he didn't have that old critical spirit. He wasn't picking them to pieces. He wasn't saying, eh, you need to shape that up. Y'all need to cut that out. You need to do. No, he wasn't doing all that. He was glad. And look, it said he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He said, look, you found the grace of God. I see God working in your lives. Do you believe that he could see the fruit of the Spirit working in those people's lives? He seen some of them had that love and that joy and that peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He saw all those things working in their life. And he said, let me encourage you. Just grab a hold of that, cling to it, and grow in the grace of God. Get grown, get up, get in these things, and I'm going to help you in that. Amen? I mean, you see the care of Barnabas in this whole thing. He was commissioned by the church. But you see that he had some care. You see that he didn't see them as perfect, because I'm sure they were like us. They were imperfect people. And you know what? They had lived in that area just like you and I grew up myself. I mean, there's some things I've heard people say in the South that, you know, they say, well, grandma and grandpa and da-da-da-da done all this and this and that, and this is what we believe. And sometimes you just got to smile, shake your head, and just, you know, say, well, you know, let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. Amen. I mean, I grew up and people tell me, well, God says that you got to be this and you got to do that and you got to act this way, you know, and my Bible don't say that. Amen. Oh, well, the Lord helps them that helps herself. Well, the Bible don't say that. But we grew up hearing all these kind of things, and until you got in the Bible, you believed them. And Barnabas goes in there, and there's people probably saying some goofy stuff sometimes. But you know what he says? You just need some help. Just like I needed some help, just like you needed help, just like all of us need to get in the Word of God and study and hear some things. Hey, they just needed some help. They didn't need somebody coming going, boy, you dummy. You don't know to get out of here. You know, I mean, that's the way it happens. I guarantee you, you can go in some churches. You could be dressed or look or whatever a certain way. They'll meet you at the door and say, we don't allow that in here. I mean, I promise you. And let me tell you this, I've been in, some of them been part of it. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I'm just telling you. Or get that look, keep looking over your shoulder like, what are they going to do? You know, get that grumbly kind of weird ball. Hey, somebody would slap us in the face and say, look, just get some God on you and get some God in you and help somebody. Everybody ain't as perfect as you, amen. And you might have to go look in the mirror, amen. But I'm just telling you, hey, here they were. And they sent the right man. They sent him. And he gave them the care that they needed. I mean, he was there to encourage them in this new kind of faith. Then I want you to notice, look at that. Hey, old Barnabas got and began to call for some backup. Now, we don't know. We're not given a bit of insight on this. But I'm just telling you, it's God. But you notice what it says here? It says, here are these guys. Here he is doing this good work. He's full of the Holy Ghost, faith. Much people's added to the Lord. It said, then departed Barnabas in verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I want you to just notice it. Here's Barnabas and he's working. And all of a sudden I think the Spirit of God says you need some help in this. And I can tell you the man to help you. Amen. Go find Saul. This before he's called Paul. Go find him. Now why in the world would he want him? Do you know, I mean, this is a most fascinating study to me. If you study Saul, who he was, where he came from, and just who he was personally and educationally, culturally, all of those things that he had everything in him that they needed right here. And apparently, Paul had the real heart of a teacher. Now, that was where he was headed in the Jewish religion with the Pharisees. He said he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was educated. He was all that. But I'm telling you, he knew enough to help these folks and to get them out of their pagan ideologies and thoughts and bring them into the Christian mindset. And the Bible said him and Barnabas were there for a year to help these people learn. Do you know that that's what it takes? I mean, sometimes you get to reading your Bible, and we've talked about this a lot. You get to reading your Bible, and you say, well, that happened, and that happened awful fast. No, it said it came to pass, verse 28 or 26, came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They got so much teaching from from Paul and Barnabas here, as far as the teachings of the early church, that folks began to call them. They said, look, that bunch over there. And they said, oh, they're just a bunch of Christians, which means a Christ follower or someone that is like or fashioned after Christ. And they meant it, generally in that day, whoever started this term meant it as a derogatory term. You mean that old bunch of Christians? Boy, aren't you glad they tagged us that way? I'm glad to wear the name of a Christian. Amen? And this is where it all started, here in Antioch. They were first called because they were disciples. They got in. They learned. They changed their lives. They turned. They found some teaching. They found some solid stuff. And I'm telling you, Saul, was the right man at this time to help Barnabas with all these things. Barnabas had the heart of a tender encourager. Paul had the the mind and the learning and the infilling of God to do the teaching of what needed to be taught. And buddy, that is the perfect combination to build and grow this church. And that's what it took. And that's what happened. Amen. That's what happened. So, okay, you see that all those things happen. That's the servants of the Lord. They got a call for backup, and there it was. The backup was Paul, or Saul. Then I want you to notice this last three verses real quickly, and we'll just cover them. I want you to notice the sharing that was done through this church that was undeterred. And really, I mean, you've got to look at this and think, this is amazing. It said, and in those days, in these days that all this is going on with the growth of things in Antioch and Jerusalem, whatever, there came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, you realize we don't have a Bible as such in these days. We realize we're in the early days of the church. You realize these are people that are being taught by Spirit-led and Spirit-filled men. And you know, these things are going to, and you're going to see some of these things in the book of Acts. This man, Agabus, stands up and is prophesying a prophetic word from God about what's about to happen in the world. And, I mean, that's just the gift upon him at this time. He's able to do that. And you say, well, preacher, we got them people today. No, I don't think we do. I believe this is something special at this time because of, as I say, no Bible. There's not, you know, we don't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all that for these guys right here. They're having to get it, and the Spirit's giving it to Barnabas, the Spirit's giving it to Saul, and they're teaching these people in the right thing to do. But anyway, the Spirit of God sends this prophet up here. And he says there's going to be a dearth. There's going to be a famine, if you will. There's going to be a lack of food and growing and agriculture and water, and, you know, whatever all it's going to involve. And it's going to happen here in this particular time. And it said, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. History says, in A.D. 45 to 47, somewhere around 46, that there was a famine in that area, well, really throughout the whole world, but as far as the Roman Empire, they found a famine at that time. This is the same time frame we're talking about here. It's about A.D. 45, 46, somewhere along in there. That's when this man is standing up and giving this prophecy. There's going to be some problems. Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, let me just tell you. First of all, here's the prophecy that showed them things that were to be. The prophecy that was going to show them things that were to be. And it says in verse 29, then the disciples, and this is talking about the disciples that are there at Antioch, because this is where the man's come to, from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. I want you to notice the plan that stirred them. They knew, okay? Somebody stands up and says, hey, there's going to be a dearth throughout the known world. There's going to be less food. There's going to be less animals to eat. There's going to be less everything. There's going to be less. And when they stand up and make that prediction, and the Holy Ghost is behind it, you better believe that it's so. So what these folks did as a church, their church, somebody stood up and said, I vote that we all do what we can to help out the brethren that are in Jerusalem. Isn't that what it says? It says that they were, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, back in the land of, around Jerusalem. They were going to send some help back then. Isn't that just amazing that God, I mean, listen, here's a bunch of people. It'd be like somebody over in South Korea hears that over here in America we're having trouble, and they say, hey, we want to send some relief supplies over to them people in North America. Well, you don't know us. Well, it don't matter. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all saved by the grace of God. They need help, and we're going to do what we can. Yeah, but it's going to affect you too. It don't matter. We're going to give what we can give. I mean, that's exactly what this is saying. That they said, we'll help. We'll help. My goodness, I don't know what all Paul and Barnabas had taught them, but they taught them to love the brethren, didn't they? They taught them y'all to give. They taught them some amazing things. And here's a plan that says, hey, they did. But I want you to notice this. They did it as their own choice. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, look what it says, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. They made a choice and said, here's what I'm going to do. Every man at his own house said, we can give $10. Another said, well, I can give $100. Another said, I can give, you know, this and that and whatever. I can give whatever I can give. And they brought it all together and they said, we're going to give it. According to, and it didn't say they demanded it of them. They didn't say they told everybody, now you've got to give, you know, this much. No, whatever they could do, they did. And I'm telling you, I'm glad Paul wrote and said, God still loves a cheerful giver. He didn't say how much you had to give. He just said, you give what you got, do it cheerfully. Jesus said, you notice the little widow that had the two mites? She put in all she had. Thank God she's a trusting God to meet her needs. She knew the Lord would take care of her. She just said, hey, here's what I got. Here's what I'm going to give. And I'm trusting God with the rest. Do you realize that's what these folks are doing? They're just giving. I mean, this was their plan. Let's give and let's help somebody else. Amen. I just love it when we give around here sometimes and we help somebody else. I have seen you on Wednesday nights with a crowd like this, maybe a few more, and we take up an offering for a missionary or something. I've seen us take one, and I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking of a number. I say, well, I sure would like to give them $300. And one of these men come back to me, and I say, now how much we take up? And I said, we took up $500. And I said, well, that's great. I was planning on giving them $300, so go ahead and give them $5. Amen. I mean, listen, you don't know. Somebody just determines in their heart, said, here's what I'm going to do. And they just give. Amen. And I can tell you, that's a blessing. That's just a blessing. I mean, that's just God. God just does it. And that's what these folks decided to do. It was their choice. And they were going to look at their giving and realize that is part of our ministry. Part of our ministry. And you and I will do the same thing. It's part of our ministry. All right, one last thing. I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 30. Which also they did. Now, not only did they say that's what we're going to do, they did it. They said, we've determined to do this, well, and which also they did. They did it. And sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Get the picture of this. Look at the people that they sent. Old Barnabas. Now, okay, I got that. I mean, he's Mr. Caring, Mr. Loving, Mr. Encourager, and he says, boys, let's give. But I mean, look, here's Saul. Saul walks in to the elders at Jerusalem and he says, boys, y'all know what? I used to hate every one of you. I used to want to put y'all in jail, persecute what you stand for, and wipe off the name of Jesus from the face of earth. He said, but God's changed my heart. I love you. Those things that I used to hate, I now love. Those things I used to love, I now hate them. He said, and I just come, he said, and we got a big love offering for you. And I want to be one of the ones to hand it to you because I want you to know I love you. Woo, isn't that amazing? I mean, can you imagine that? God sent that old God-hating, Jesus-hating man. And here he is saying, fellas, I believe he come in. I believe he just fell down on his knees and said, hey, this is all we got and this is all we got to get. But we sure do love you. We sure do appreciate you. You know, I've told y'all before, I tell you, one of the most humbling things that you can do is wash another man's feet. And hey, whatever you want to think about it, in John 13, that's what Jesus did, right? And I have been in. I've been in with some old-fashioned Baptist people a long time ago that used to believe in foot washing. We had foot washing service. I've been there, and I've done it. And can I tell you, it is one of the most humbling experiences you'll ever have. Amen? There was an old guy out there on Sand Mountain that was a member of the church. One of my uncles pastored out there. And he said they was working around the church one day. My uncle did. Said they was working, you know, painting or cleaning or whatever they was doing. He said this old boy come in there, had a big old foot tub, had water in it. And my uncle looked at him and said, what are you doing, brother so-and-so? He said, preacher, he said, I'm about to wash your feet. He said, come on. He said, he sat me down on the front row of that seat. And he said, this guy's huge. I mean, big guy. Huge fella. He bowed down there. He pulled them boots off of that preacher. He said, put your foot in here. He began to wash his feet. And he said, I just want you to know I appreciate you and I love you. He washed his feet. He said, pretty soon I was a splashing water. He said, we're both soaking wet and shouting and having a fit. I'm just telling you, it's a humbling experience. But buddy, when you can get yourself there humbled, God will certainly bless you. And I'm telling you, I believe God blessing Barnabas and Saul here. And they come walking in with this offering and said, we got something for you. Well, where'd that come from? All them folks over in Antioch said they just loved you. They want you to have it. Well, they ain't got nothing. Well, they got whatever they got and they brought it. They want to give it to you. Amen. There's been times I've been at the back door of a church preaching a revival or something. And I've seen some little old widow women come up to me and try to slip some money in my hand. And I'd try to give it back to them. And I'd say, man, I know you need this more than I do. And they'd say, no, sir, preacher, I want you to have it. And boy, it just break my heart to think that somebody would have that kind of love toward me when I know that they probably needed it worse than I did. And the Lord whispered, go ahead. He said, I'll take care of them. You just go ahead and take care of them. I'll take care of them. Woo, ain't that good? Amen. I'm just telling you, God's still able to do those things. Praise God for that. Well, that gets you through the end of chapter number 11. And Paul is, you know, just becoming a little bit more into focus. Now, we're going to jump back and look at Peter here, the next chapter, as he goes into jail and the things that happen there. But then after that, you're really going to focus on Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul, Silas, and Timothy, missions going beyond that. But isn't God good to us tonight? Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's sing just a verse of something, whatever you want to sing. Maybe just get a little encouragement from